Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Please share this show digitally. We have such a big fight against us, and we've got about half the country that's sitting on the sidelines not doing what needs to be done, because as they say, freedom's not free, and we're having our freedom stolen from us. In today's show, Linda Gardner. Linda, I'm sorry, let me bring you on here because I should have done this. How exactly do you pronounce your last name? Because I want to make sure I get it right.
It's Gerringer.
Gerringer. Okay, that's what I thought. Okay, so Linda Gerringer is our guest, as you just heard. And Linda has been the victim of absolute tyranny in the medical profession. It involves the nonsense and unscientific approach of COVID regulations, and they're just trying to maximize the profits for Big Pharma to force everyone into vaccines, no matter how many lives they cost, both on the administration of it and the effect of not getting medical treatment denied because you don't have a vaccine. But before we join Linda, I need to take this moment here and just say to you that the food supply is, let's put it this way, they're making their move on controlling food. And we've been through all that. We've done shows on it. And there's going to come a time when the only food that you have available is what's in your house. And dictators use food to control populations. And we believe that's what they're headed towards. So you need your own storable food supply. And My Patriot Supply is about the only one left out there, because most of them have given up, sold out to the government, and moved on. And My Patriot Supply has not. In fact, they haven't raised their prices in this highly inflationary time. The food product is really good. It's they provide you with breakfast, lunch, dinner. It tastes just fine. And let's put it this way. If you don't do this now, you're not going to get an opportunity to do it later. So I'm imploring you to go to foodwithdave.com. That's foodwithdave.com. Read all about the product. Look at the great diversity of meal choices you have. And then realize that you need to get as much as you can get. Because people say, Dave, how much should I get? We used to say 3 months, and then it was 6 months, and then it was 2 years. I can't tell you how much you're going to have to get. I'm saying get as much as you can get. That's foodwithdave.com. And if you have food, you better have the water. We've talked about grid down scenarios. We go to war with Russia or China or both. We can pretty well expect that our grid will be attacked. What will you do for water? Well, you'll be able to scavenge it, but can you drink it? Not unless you've got a good water filtration system. And the Alexa Pure Pro Water Filter provides you with that. We published the research for them, which shows they're number one in the industry. They, too, have not raised prices. They have specials available. But this product here, I have to warn you, they produce a limited amount to keep the production cost down, and they will sell out. So I would recommend, if you don't have good water filtration, you go to waterwithdave.com and take care of that need now. So you've got the food, foodwithdave.com. You got the water, waterwithdave.com. And you notice the products that we're bringing to you? It's what I wish we didn't have to bring to you, but what I'm afraid you're going to need, given the perilous times we're in. And speaking of perilous, the medical profession, you know, your individual doctor may be fine, but the medical profession is not on your side. It's for profit at any cost. There's very little regulating them. They have immunity against all their bad acts, and they can basically act with depraved indifference, which they often do. And you've heard me in the past talk about, you know, how I believe the medical profession during the COVID time killed my sister when she was in the hospital, and extreme negligence and malpractice. But they have immunity. They can kill without worrying about consequences. And we have an outrageous story to share with you today as Linda is joining us. And Linda, we're so sorry you're going through this, but it's so typical. Can you basically just start us off with talking a little bit about your medical condition and then the difficulties that you're encountering?
Well, it started a couple years back. My kidneys started deteriorating, and my doctor said you need to get on a kidney transplant list. So the only way to do that is to go through a transplant center. And I went through Sharps here in San Diego, and I went through a year of testing and psychology and all the hoops and loops they make you jump through. And it got down to about the last Zoom meeting with the procedure doctor. And I thought we were going to get on there for, you know, talk about the procedure and do you have any questions?
Mm-hmm.
And the doctor was more interested in why wasn't I vaccinated. So I politely told him, you know, I had a good friend that had passed away from taking the vaccine. And, you know, they couldn't give me any data on the experimental drug. So that pretty much ended the phone call with him. And I was kind of shocked and turned around to my husband. I said, I know they're not going to do this surgery because I'm not vaccinated. And sure enough, I got a letter from them, from Sharps, that stating that they took me off the national transplant list because I wasn't vaccinated, in bold letters. But I have gone through such hell since then. And thank God I found another hospital here locally, UCSD Medical, that doesn't discriminate people that are unvaccinated. And I had to go through all the procedures all over again. So it's been 2 years. Meanwhile, my muscles are going. I walk with a walker now. I can't take care of myself. My daughter has to take care of me. She pretty much does all my, you know, activities that I did for my family. I no longer can take care of my family. So, you know, I've had a heart attack since then because the dialysis is so hard on my body, my heart. My blood pressure goes up. Instead of going down like normal people in dialysis, mine skyrockets. And I never made it home from dialysis one day because I had a heart attack. And I've since had a mild heart attack. So I've had two heart attacks since then. I should have had my kidney by now because, and another thing, they told me my daughter was a match. And she wasn't. We get over to the other hospital and they said, no, your daughter never was a match. So now she's going to donate her kidney to another group of people that are in dire need of a kidney, and they'll find somebody out of this group for me. So that's where we're at right now. But meanwhile, my body is basically deteriorating. You know, my skin is deteriorating. My hair is falling out. I can't walk from the bedroom to the kitchen without being out of breath. It's hell right now. And they put me through this.
Let me ask you some questions that will put, you know, some more definition to this. You mentioned something that they didn't have data to support the relationship between, if I'm understanding, vaccines and getting a transplant. Is that what you were telling us?
Well, I said I couldn't find any data on, you know, what's the side effects of this experimental drug. That's why I didn't want to take it. And thank God I didn't, because I'd probably be dead by now. You know, this has killed over 200,000 people, the vaccine, and they're still pushing it. That's, you know, what for? If it doesn't do any good, what for? And you know. Deny me of a kidney transplant because of a vaccine that doesn't do any good and it's only harming people?
Well, another thing,
explain that to me.
Linda, there's something you said that concerned me too. You said, what was the name of the first organization you dealt with?
Sharps Memorial.
Sharps, okay.
Well, so, not Sharp Cough, Sharp Kidney Transplant.
Okay. Well, the thing, concern I have when I heard you speaking about this was when they said they took you off the national database. How do they have the authority to do that? They could take you off their database, but they can't take you off a national database.
It said because of status 7, and status 7 is like a big black hole. It can be any excuse under status 7. So that's the reason. Under status 7, they took me off the national transplant list.
Okay.
And I looked that up, and it's basically a black hole for any excuse that they want.
Tell me more about status 7. What does it say?
I don't have it right in front of me, but it could be for any various reasons. For any various reasons that they want.
Okay, but... okay. Is status 7 a national policy or for the transplant list, or is it for this hospital, Sharps?
No, it's for the National Transplant National Transplant List.
Okay, so what's concerning to me then is, why is it that Sharp says you violate status 7, so we can take you off the national list, but UCSD says no, you qualify here. I don't see how, if they're working off the same list.
I do not know. They used it as an excuse because they didn't want to perform surgeries of unvaccinated people.
Did they give you a reason why that was their policy?
No. Nope. Just that in bold letters because I was not vaccinated.
Did they have an appeal process?
Once they did that to me, I didn't want to have nothing to do with them. I didn't even appeal it. I just started immediately looking and finding another hospital.
Did you have any?
I wouldn't want that surgeon doing surgery on me if he doesn't want to do surgery on an unvaccinated person.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want nothing to do with that surgeon now.
When you went to Sharps, I would imagine you went to Sharps on a referral from your doctor.
Well, actually, it was my doctor said, here are the transplant centers in San Diego. And my mom's neighbor had a really good friend that went through the process there and had no problems. So that's why I chose Sharp.
Yes.
But I wish I hadn't, because they wasted a whole year of my life.
I understand.
A whole year. And then I had to do another year of doing all the procedures all over again.
It's
been 2 years.
I see. Here's what concerns me that I'm hearing about Sharps is I'm assuming they didn't tell you ahead of time this is only open to vaccinated people.
No, they did not. And they knew from the beginning, from the very beginning, everybody there knew I wasn't vaccinated, and they knew I wasn't going to get vaccinated from the get-go. So why did they wait a whole year? You know, to me, that's fraud with Medicare. They did all the testing they could, and then at the end they said, well, sorry, you're not vaccinated. We decided not to do it.
And you got no reason why other than the fact that you just weren't vaccinated, right?
That's because in bold letters in the letter, because I am not vaccinated.
Mm. With no justification, that's what I was basically saying.
No.
Okay, because the data, this is something that is in my wheelhouse, Linda. I used to teach, among other things, statin research at the university level. And one of the things I know how to do is read statistical literature. In fact, when I used to teach graduate students working on their thesis how to do research, we used medical modeling. So I'm very familiar with the process because it's supposed to be the same from one place to another. And what I looked at here with the vaccine testing, there's no efficacy for it. It means that you can't prove it works. They did it on animals, and the animals died. And before they started giving it to people, they didn't test it on people. And that violates every ethical standard for the development of medical treatment. And it sounds like they're still standing by this, even though there's data publicly available that says the vaccines don't work.
Well, look on the TV. I see every day, I see at least 5 commercials on get your boosters, get your vaccine. Why are they still pushing it?
Without data.
Why are they still?
I know.
Experimental drug.
You see, it's supposed to be the FDA and then the CDC or the NIH to some degree that monitors the safe practice of the administration of any medical treatment. And we have no oversight. Did you ever take the time to write to the FDA or CDC and tell them what happened to you?
No, I did not.
Okay. Well,
it probably go on deaf ears.
You know, you may want to do that just so you can help other people, like your daughter's going to give her kidney to another group because she's not your match. But you might want to do that simply because of the fact that you might be saving other people's lives, and you might be able to stop this crazy practice at Sharps. And I do agree with you. I would not want to be treated by them either with this practice. But there's something else they're violating too. And I'm just speaking to you based on my own experience as an academic. The one thing they violated was prior notice. To subject you to all that you had to go through, and to not give you prior notice that not having a vaccine would be a disqualifier in advance of what you went through, is a violation of ethical standards. It violates AMA. I don't know if you're aware of that or not, but
no, I'm not.
They broke the law, is what I'm telling you. They broke the law. Now, whether or not that law is being enforced, if you look at our government today, they're not really enforcing the laws against their friends. But this is a clear violation. A violation of medical procedure. If you're disqualified from a treatment because of your status, they have to actually list the statuses and say you will not be eligible for this service based on these criteria, and they're required to give that to you in advance of any treatment.
They did not.
And then the other thing I'm wondering about here too, and I'm surprised. Well, I guess I'm not. UCSD. Could look at this and say they're violating another protocol, and the protocol is called incompetence. How could they diagnose your daughter as a match when she's not? She either is or she isn't, and it's not a hard process to go through to identify that.
Well, we didn't find that out until we got to UCSD, and they told us that she was not a match.
Yeah, I would.
We were shocked.
Well,
I mean, I wasn't shocked. But I was shocked.
Linda, I'm really shocked too. I would like to do this for you. And you could certainly use this broadcast because we'll provide you a copy. But I would like to see you, file a complaint with the FDA and CDC against Sharps, because no prior notice, okay, no medical justification for denial of treatment after they wasted your time and risked your life. They probably have immunity. If they didn't have immunity, you have a cause of action against them too. So this is really one of the most outrageous things I've heard. Okay, so here's another question I have for you. So Sharps does what they do to you, and you go to UCSD, and they're professional enough to say, okay, yeah, we're not going to require a vaccine, but you have to start your stuff over. Why couldn't they take the testing and transfer
some of it? Some of it was transferred, some of it wasn't. And it's during, okay, so this was during COVID. Now we're out of COVID, and it's so hard to get appointments. Like with one appointment, just to get a colonoscopy, it was 6 months just to get in to see the person. Then it'd be another 4 months for the procedure. Everybody is coming out of COVID, and everybody's doing all their procedures now. So the appointments take forever to get. And thank God I had my primary, and he worked on that, said, no, we'll try and get you in over it with this doctor instead. And I just happened to get somebody that had canceled their appointment to get in for that one. So it takes, it's not like you call up and say, hey, I need an appointment next week. Some of them are 6 months out. So some of the tests had expired, and so I had to redo them. So that's why it's taken another year.
Yeah, that makes sense when you say the testing had expired. So you wasted a whole year. You had two heart attacks. What do they tell you at UCSD in terms of the timetable? When can you expect to have your transplant?
Well, right now we just did, I guess we did a swab of our mouth, and we send that in. And then they find a person in this group through that swabbing. And we just did that like 2 weeks ago. So now we're waiting on them to find a match in this group. And it can take anywhere from 3 months, 6 months to a year. It could happen any day.
Mm-hmm.
But, they tell us don't count on that. It depends on who's in this group. And who's a perfect match.
And I'm assuming in this.
But we're waiting for the kidney now.
Okay. But I'm assuming, too, that you've got Medicare. And has Medicare been cooperative with this process?
Oh, yes. I've had no problems with Medicare. But they've had to pay all over again for all this doctor's appointments, testing. I would think they're either no one's paying attention or they just didn't get it, or I don't know. I don't know if they asked why are we doing this all over again? No one's contacting me for Medicare.
Yeah, you know, that was my next question. Medicare is not being a good steward of their own finances, because see, they should have had an advocate contact UCSD or Sharps and said, hey, look, you've had this person for a year, and in that year, all these things have happened to her. Her life's in danger. Why did you waste a year in doing this when you could have handled all this up front? I can't believe Medicare is not going that route.
I don't think no one's paying attention.
Yeah, well, it's a lot of people, including medical professionals, have said that the system is certainly not working. And doctors are leaving record numbers since COVID because they can't tolerate the nonsense. I had a personal physician, oh gosh, till 8-10 years ago, and he left. This is before COVID, and he left to become a bartender in a ski resort because he says, I can't treat patients this way any longer. He said, I'm losing too much sleep. How would you rank the care that you're getting at UCSD?
Excellent. I've had no problems. I've had nothing but good feelings.
Wow, this is so outrageous, and this is scary. Do you have any idea about how common your disorder is that leads to transplant? Is it a rare condition, or is it common? Or tell us about that.
Most of the people that are in dialysis and waiting for a kidney is from diabetes. Mine was from high blood pressure, and that's another thing. I never knew high blood pressure could lead to kidney damage, or I would have paid a little bit more attention to it. I have lupus, so they were wondering if my condition wasn't from lupus, and they had to go in and take a biopsy of my kidney to make sure it wasn't from lupus, but it was from high blood pressure. So that is more uncommon than people with diabetes are mostly in waiting for kidneys.
Yeah, that really sounds like it. Well, what else would you like my audience to know?
I'm sure I'm not the only one out there. And I think these hospitals need to be held accountable. And I'm sure once that letter I got from Sharps, all the other unvaccinated, and I don't know how many there were, but I'm sure I wasn't the only one. But I think these hospitals need to be held accountable for their actions.
Linda, in the media, I'm aware of situations where a person's waiting for a heart transplant and they have been denied it because of their vaccination status. But I don't know if it's as egregious as your situation in which they waited a whole year to tell you. I don't know about that, but I do know there's been other transplants denied because of vaccination status. Did you try going a political route and contacting your congressperson to see about legislation that would stop this abuse?
There actually, I believe there was just recently a bill presented in Congress for this exact same thing, not to be able to discriminate against unvaccinated, but I don't know if it's gone through yet.
Yeah, and you know that Big Pharma will be there with their money handing out campaign donations.
Yeah.
To try to make sure that it doesn't go through. Yeah, this is a sad state of affairs. I mean, you know, this situation you're describing, which is clearly patient abuse, but it's this kind of thing is happening throughout our whole culture, where the people's rights are being circumvented, people are being mistreated, medicine is out of control. You know, you can lose your job because you choose not to get a vaccination. The reason you didn't get a vaccination, I've read, I forget where I read this, but I read that you chose not to because you had a neighbor take a vaccine and die shortly thereafter.
Within 2 weeks, she passed away, yes. And I couldn't find any data, and nobody else could give me any data on the side effects of this experimental drug.
You know what's interesting to me, too, is when the doctor was interviewing you on the phone, and then you got that letter later, but when the doctor was interviewing you, did he ask you, well, look, we have a policy here. If you're not vaccinated, you're not going to get the transplant. Did he offer that to you to change your, to change your mind?
No, he just asked me why I didn't want to be vaccinated and the reasons why. And that basically was it. And I thought it was going to be, you know, here's the procedure. You have any questions on the procedure? And no, it was just all to do about vaccinated. And that was it.
What did, now, obviously, you probably had to go back to your regular doctor and you told your doctor what happened. What was their reaction?
Disgusted. My primary is a cardiologist. And he was pretty disgusted.
Did he just, did he say you should try to appeal, or did he just say, let's move on to something new?
No, I told him I'd already found another hospital that would do the procedure. And he wasn't with that group with Sharp. You know, most of these doctors are with either Scripps or UCSD or Sharps here in San Diego. And he was not with that group. He was with a piece with Scripps.
How did that affect your situation?
Pardon me?
The fact that he's with Scripps, how did that affect your situation? Are you saying he was like out of network with this group and he wouldn't have known?
Yeah, he's not with that particular hospital. He's with another hospital. I know my primary. If he was with Sharps, he would have went to bat for me, but he's not with that group.
Boy, that's really disturbing. I'm hearing this. It shouldn't matter what group he's at. The Hippocratic Oath is the Hippocratic Oath. The patient's need is the patient's need. I would have thought he would have.
Well, I had already found another hospital that would do it, so I just kind of dropped it.
Did you do this on your own in terms of finding a second provider?
Yes. It scared me when I got off that phone call, so I started immediately.
And did you tell them up front you weren't vaccinated and you didn't plan to be? And that, what was their reaction?
When I called, I said, do you have to be vaccinated? And she said, no, not at this time, we don't. So I said, okay. And then I started the procedure over there.
Not at this time. Wow.
Yeah, not at this time is what they said.
That is just amazing here. Yeah. Well, you know that they pay doctors to vaccinate patients. I'm talking they being Big Pharma.
Oh, yes. Yes, I know. Yep.
And, of course, there's no conflict of interest there. I'm sure that would never affect a doctor.
My doctor, nope. They ask, are you vaccinated? Do you want to get vaccinated? You say, nope, and that's it. He doesn't ask again.
Wow. Yeah, it's such a racket. I went to a one of these, not emergency room, but, you know, urgent care. And the doctor came in and he asked me a question totally unrelated to why I was there. Have you had your flu shot? He says, I'm sure an intelligent person like you has had your flu shot. And I said, well, that's not why I'm here, doctor. I'm here to get emergency intervention. Because my primary is not available right now. We're on the weekend. And he says, yeah, but I'm sure a smart guy like you has got your vaccine. And I started getting a little upset. And I said, look, the reason I don't have my flu shot is because I am intelligent. He goes, what do you mean by that? And I said, well, you base your flu based on a projection of next year. I said, to me, that's crystal ball medicine, and I'm not going to subject my body to a pathogen on such a flimsy procedure. And I said, that's my intelligence kicking in here. Well, how would you know that? I said, well, I teach research at a pretty high level, and we use medical modeling, so I know what they do. And he was flabbergasted. But I was in there for an athletic injury, and he's trying to get me to take a flu shot. And then I asked him, I said, are you compensated for giving me a flu shot? And he wouldn't answer my question. So I said, you've kind of answered my question already.
Yeah, that's the way it is.
Yeah, American medicine absolutely sucks. And did you know our standard of living has actually gone down since COVID by 2 years?
I believe that.
Yeah, we've gone down, I think it's 79 to 77 when you combine both genders. And so, yeah, we've gone down 2 years, and our infant mortality rate is higher than El Salvador. I mean, this is the kind of nonsense our medicine's become, and you've been the victim of it. And vaccine refusal is not uncommon. That's why, to me, it's unconscionable that Sharps did not tell you up front. We only give service to vaccinated people rather than wasting a year of your life. And they endangered your life.
No, and you could go right next door to the hospital, get admitted for appendicitis or whatever, and get surgery without being vaccinated.
Yeah, that tells you, hey, we're gonna make you use your life's best interest against you to get a vaccine. This is so outrageous, and that's why I think your message is so important. How much media exposure has your case had?
I've interviewed on a couple of shows. I haven't locally been interviewed, but I've had a story written for me with Epic Times.
Yeah, I read that.
And,
yes,
mm-hmm. a couple other radio shows. I just want to get the message out there that, you know, we need to fight against this, and hopefully I can make this hospital be accountable. But that's hard to do when, you know, this is so new to fight against.
Do you know if the hospital is immune to lawsuits? Do they have immunity for this?
I have no idea.
Yeah. I would suspect they do, or they wouldn't have been so brazen. If they could be sued, they would probably have counseled you and said, look, you got to have a vaccine, and here's why you got to have a vaccine, and try to trick you into taking it. But the fact that they were so arbitrary and didn't even offer you the opportunity to change your mind tells me that they know there's nothing that you could do legally. That would be my guess.
I don't know.
Yeah, my mom had a real bad experience in a hospital once. I mean, just horrible neglect. Almost cost her her life at the time. And I went to a lawyer. My sister and I both did. We went to a lawyer, and he said, this is really bad, and they wouldn't like it if it was in the news media, but you can't sue. They have immunity. So that's just absolutely terrible. Well, before we close, is there anything else you'd like to tell our audience?
No, just hang in there and keep me in your prayers.
Yeah, absolutely, Linda. We will do that. And I want to thank you for having the courage to come forward. And let's hope that your situation progresses normally, naturally, and quickly at your new site. And we wish you the very best in health. And I want to thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Okay, take care, ladies and gentlemen. And we'll see you back here on the other side. Stay tuned. Hey, everybody. We're back. And our special thanks to Linda Gehringer for being brave enough to come on and tell her story. Because when you criticize the big pharma medical industrial complex, you risk not being treated anywhere. In fact, when they give you these outrageous drugs and they tell you you have no choice or you must take a vaccine, I'm sure you've heard that they can declare you to be non-medically compliant, discharge you from their care, and blackball you from the care of others. Linda's just really lucky that did not happen to her. We'll follow her case, and we'll see exactly how things progress for her. And let's hope and pray that she is doing well and she gets the kidney transplant that she is entitled to without medical interference. Isn't it interesting, too, that the institution that she mentioned would impose a vaccine mandate without telling her for a whole year, and she wasted a year of her life, but not even telling her. But in addition, we're not even under COVID protocols anymore. The government has gotten out of them. You don't have to wear masks when you go to various places now. Why are they maintaining this? Of course, we know why. They want to extort as much money from people as they can. And you know what's interesting, too, along these lines, is that Linda represents one of many victims. And she's smart not to have taken the vaccine. And many people are having vaccine regret. I call it VRS, vaccine regret syndrome, because of the fact that they, let's put it this way, it's estimated that about 1.2 million Americans have died directly from the vaccines. The insurance companies, life insurance companies in particular, are going absolutely nuts at what's happening because they have to make these payouts. And so they're going broke, paying out for the increased death rate. By the way, do you know since the beginning of COVID, and it's not because of COVID, it's because of the vaccines, but since the advent of COVID and the vaccine requirements, the lockdowns, do you know the lifespan in America has actually declined 2 years? I mean, it really typifies the phrase, suffering more. Well, let me put it this way. What I was going to say would get me in trouble, and that's why I hesitated here. But we are paying more and enjoying it less, that's for sure. But there's a whole lot more we could say about these criminal organizations. Yeah, but we have seen the cancel culture that they engage in. You dare to speak about them. You can't. Do you remember when people were being canceled in social media for bringing up time-honored scientific principles like natural immunity? You get something, you basically are, you have an immunity to the disease, the disorder, whatever it would be. And all of a sudden, you know, Fauci is saying, well, we don't know if that's really true anymore. What a joke. How's this man not in prison? He lied to the Senate under oath. He lied to the American people every day. He's cost millions of lives around the planet. He's Dr. Mengele on steroids. I mean, he makes Mengele look like a choir boy. How is this guy not in prison? But again, we could say the whole thing about the same U.S. government. I just did a piece on social media about U.S. Code 1507. And that says that you basically can't protest at a courthouse or in front of a judge's house. Can't go to their residence. Can't stand outside with bullhorns, microphones, abusive signs. And yet, Justice Kavanaugh was nearly assassinated by a trans over the Dobbs decision, which overturned Roe v. Wade. And you know what's interesting about Roe v. Wade? I mean, this is how stupid the left thinks you are. That Roe v. Wade was not about abolishing abortion. It was about saying the federal government can't guarantee the right that's not called for in the Constitution. The Constitution doesn't say you have the right to freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and freedom of abortion. It doesn't say that. So it defaults to the state level. That's why they had to legally overturn an inaccurate previous Supreme Court decision. Even Ruth Bader Ginsburg said, this is a problem. So I just thought I would leave that out there, though. This, we live in such depraved times because U.S. Code 1507 commands Merrick Garland and Joe Biden to arrest people, put them in prison for a year, and subject them to a fine for protesting in front of judges' houses. Well, they won't do that, but they're sure as hell arrest pastors for praying on the sidewalk in front of abortion clinics. And we've all seen the film from the UK. A woman's walking down the street in front of an abortion clinic, and the police approach her. What are you doing? And she hadn't been saying a word. What do you mean, what am I doing? Nothing, I'm walking. What are you thinking? Oh, I was thinking in prayer. They arrested her. This is where this crazy society is going. We arrest people for praying, but we let them attempt to assassinate justices. We have them harass them 24/7, and nothing happens. We live in a total criminal, satanic underworld with people ruling over us who are just evil and demonic. And that's the only way. And this is not name calling. These are accurate descriptors of what we are dealing with. Anyway, people have been asking me, what's going on with Liz Harris? And in case you haven't heard previous broadcasts, Liz Harris was a renowned election integrity specialist. And I'm going to toot my horn for a second, too. If you want to know what happened in Arizona with the 2020 election fraud that illegitimately stole over a million votes from Donald Trump and gave them, this is just amazing, gave them to Joe Biden. And I wrote an article that detailed the five ways that it happened. I had my domain. Liz Harris, recently defrocked House of Representatives member, she had hers. And what she did in 2021 is she canvassed thousands of homes in Maricopa County, and she found 300,000 illegitimate votes. Here's what they did. They would walk up, her people would walk up to a house, knock on the door, and say, hey, we're not caring who you voted for, but we just want to know, does so-and-so live here, and do you know if they voted? And they would hear things like, no, they moved to Ohio. No, they're dead. And see, the Democrats refused to let the voter rolls be cleaned up, so they're able to go out and get all of these ghost votes. And Liz and her people found 300,000 ghost voting, illegal votes that should be thrown out, and Joe Biden would have lost in a landslide. And this was only in one county in Arizona, the largest county, Maricopa County. Now, this contrasted with what I did. I did five ways the election was stolen, and I won't go into those now. Perhaps I should monologue because they're repeating themselves. But Liz Harris was a hero. Well, in Legislative District 13, she got elected to the House of Representatives in Arizona in this last election cycle in 2022. And I'm just aghast that they let her get elected. Because there were two people you went to on election fraud issues in Arizona. I was one and Liz was the other. And so Liz has got this unbelievable reputation. But to the left, the Uniparty, the Democrats, she's a pariah. But she got elected against all odds in an election where they cheated like crazy. I mean, just to give you one fact here, in the 2022 midterm, in heavy Republican areas, 61% of the voting machines failed. They registered these people to vote. Many of them tried to go to a second center, and they said, you can't vote. You've already voted. Well, no, I did. The machine failed. And then they came out with this ridiculous explanation a day before they kicked Liz Harris out of the House, and we'll get to that in a minute. And they said, oh, we know why the machines failed, because we used paper that was too heavy. It took them 5 months to figure that out. And you're telling me that in heavy Democratic areas, they use lighter paper? Does anyone even believe that? And by state law, they had to have tested every single voter machine 24 hours or less before the election. So were they lying then when they said they tested, or lying now, and why the differential in paper? Well, we know they used two different paper companies. Hello, can you say subpoena to see which one of these papers that these companies presented to the voting machines? We know this is a bunch of crap. I don't see how Liz got elected, but she did. And in December, she heard from colleagues of her that were on her side before she was sworn in, 1 month before, and they said, yeah, if Liz Harris brings up anything about election fraud, we're going to kick her out. We're going to expel her from the House of Representatives. So she comes into office determined that we're going to have election integrity reform. We're going to do away with unsupervised ballots. We're going to do away with ballot harvesting. We're going to clean up the voter rolls and make them current. Well, that's reasonable, isn't it? We want to make sure that everyone's vote counts the same and there's no fraud. And that's all she cared about. She said, I'm not voting on any other bill until we clean this up. And I agreed with Liz on this, because if you do not have honest elections, you do not have a democratic republic form of government. You do not have it. You live in a pretend democracy where it's really a dictatorship and the ruling oligarchs choose who the candidates are and then choose the winner. And this happens the majority of the time. In fact, the Republican Party, and that's another topic for another time, has been totally co-opted at the leadership level, both at the national and state levels. And they, excuse me, they work against America First candidates, both groups. Chuck Schumer has a pact with the Democrats in the Senate. You know what they say? No America First candidates will work against them. And Mitch McConnell is supposed to be GOP. So anyway, Liz was undeterred by this threat that will kick you out. And so she was approached by people in John Thaler Law Firm, the Thaler Harris Law Firm. And in the approach, they said to her, we have evidence with affidavits. We have 120,000 pages of voter fraud examples in 26 states. We'll focus our presentation for you just on Arizona. So as Liz shared with me, she and the representative of the Thaler Harris Law Firm met for a few hours on a Sunday because Liz wanted to go over everything with this person that she was going to present. And she had to have documentation or Liz wasn't going to do it. And coincidentally enough, this report almost never made the light of day because Liz had two other people set to testify for lack of election integrity in Arizona, and they both had to cancel. So by default, the third choice ends up presenting and should never have been there. Now, here's where this gets really interesting. Liz takes the sum total of the information and presents it to the Speaker of the House, Ben Thoma, who, by the way, is mentioned in this report I'm going to be talking about for engaging in criminal activity. I can't say that Thoma has, but I can say an investigation is needed. So he approves the agenda. State Senator Wendy Rogers runs this committee, this joint committee, and she allowed this person to present. She never interrupted her. In fact, at the end of the presentation, this state senator who's in charge of crypto, she said, thank you. You're a brave woman for coming forward. Okay, now, Liz Harris got expelled from the House of Representatives for disorderly conduct. What was her disorderly conduct exactly? Bringing dishonor to the House by having someone present criminal information on corrupted Arizona officials at the state, county, local levels, law enforcement, judges, and elected representatives. And this was well documented. I've got a copy of the report. I've read the affidavits. They allege that the governor, for example, got $500,000 from Sinaloa money laundering deals. And what they did is they bought real estate. They overinflated the real estate, and they used the excess funds, and the Sinaloas were running this with fake mortgage companies. They caught the people signing the checks. They were using pseudonyms, okay, fake aliases, but the signatures were verified by this report's experts on handwriting. So there was nothing left to chance, in my humble opinion. And so Liz had presented a very well-documented approach, although I'm sure it made people in the House and the Senate of Arizona very, very uncomfortable because some of them were implicated. And so they all banded together to protect themselves and kick Liz out. But what's interesting, the person that let the meeting go on, and first of all, the person that approved the meeting, this is why I think this is a setup, was Ben Thoma. And then you've got Wendy Rogers that let the meeting go on for about 45 minutes and then thanked the participant and said she was brave. Nothing happened to Wendy Rogers. Wendy Rogers is in charge of crypto. And let me tell you, when CBDC tries to be sneaked in at the state level, she'll probably be in charge of that effort given her crypto position. By the way, I've had trouble with Wendy Rogers personally. I had her on my show a couple of times. She was a credible guest. But at one point in time after she was on, she said 37 state attorney generals are going to decertify the election. And I wrote to her and I said, I need to have some proof of this because my audience is putting me under the gun because you were just on my show and now you're making these statements. Do you have any verification? she refused to answer. So I had to go on the show and disavow what she was saying and said, I can't support this because I don't have the evidence. She did a Rumble retaliation against me, and Rumble, you know, the video platform, and the title was Clueless Dave Hodges, and proceeded to attack me for simply asking for documentation. So that's the Wendy Rogers. Have you ever heard of a state senator attacking a private citizen for asking for proof of something? Well, that happened to me. So Wendy Rogers, nothing happens to her, but she ran the meeting. If Liz Harris is expelled, then Wendy Rogers should be expelled as well. It's a total criminal operation. What is the crime in bringing in allegations against the members of the state legislature? Not all of them, just some of them. Where's the crime in that? I fail to see the crime. There's not. They just didn't want to hear it. So they made up this term, disorderly conduct, to justify expelling Liz. Now, here's something. Here's a bombshell. I'm going to put something out here right now that is not in the public arena, and I have been told by two insiders that this is going to happen. Because they want to shut Liz up, they've now got her out of the legislature, and they want to shut her up. This is just unbelievable, folks. The new Attorney General, Democrat, do I need to say more? Democrat, Chris Mayes. Okay, and Chris Mayes is an interesting character. We won't go into her today. We will at another time. But she has told people privately, and this has been conveyed to me and to other people, that she is going to prosecute with criminal penalties Liz Harris for voter intimidation for her role in the canvassing. And you're saying, well, wait a minute, how's that illegal? You're just asking, does someone live there who voted from this address that's on the voter rolls? And they're calling that voter intimidation. But here's the BS of all this. Political polls ask you all the time, who did you vote for? Why did you vote for them? Blah. And they go into all these depth and details, much more so than Liz ever did. They just simply wanted to know if the vote matched the address by name. That's it. Only thing they ask. And now they're going to try to bankrupt Liz. They know they can't get a conviction, but they're going to try to bankrupt her. This is Chris Mayes. This is not public. But Chris Mayes, I'm putting this out because I know the BS you're up to. And we're going to turn your finances upside down and see what you're all about. In fact, I'm interviewing John Thaler, the author of the report that was presented. They got Liz kicked out. I'm interviewing John in the next 5 or 6 days. And we're going to let it fly, folks. We live in a totally criminal country. And nowhere are we more compromised in our elections, in our integrity of office, our oath of office, being representative government to the people, answering to the people. There is nowhere in the country that is more compromised than Arizona, and in particular, Maricopa County, where chairman of the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors, Bill Gates, and the county clerk and recorder, both Republicans, Stephen Reicher, they took out a PAC to unelect or prevent the election of people like Carrie Lake. Why? Because they're America First candidates. That's called uniparty, folks. This is where we're at. And it was the board and Reicher, the Maricopa County Board and Reicher, that screwed up the 2022 election on behalf of the present governor against Carrie Lake. And this is so easy to prove. And we're going to do more examination of this. But this is who gets elected to office now. And then when they get into office, even if they're not criminal and taking payoffs from the Sinaloas, they protect the people who are. So this is why they banded together and kicked Liz off. And she didn't make the allegations. She said these are allegations that need to be considered. Well, we'll have more on this at a later time. So again, we want to thank Linda Gehringer for being part of what we did here in the Common Sense Show. And please pray for Linda that she has a successful outcome with this transplant. And please pray for the corrective action of Sharps in San Diego, that they come to their senses and stop abusing their patients in the way they abuse Linda. And please pray, as hard as it's going to be to arrive at this, for election integrity and honesty in our public officials. Pray for our government officials, because that's about the only weapon we have left, is the power of prayer. These people are totally criminal. They're insane, and they seek to prey on you and profit from our demise. They are owned, well, I'll do a show on this later. They're owned by China, and a lot of them are compromised by the cartel. When you talk China, you're talking cartel. When you talk cartel, you're talking China. And on that note, we got a bit ado. Thank you for joining us. God bless all of you.